up, Daddy Gang. It is your founding father, Alex Cooper, with Call Her Daddy.
Hey, 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 we're fucking back, baby. We're fucking back at it again, bitches. Hi, guys. Welcome back for another episode of Call Her Daddy. This intro is gonna be short and sweet and to the point because this interview is long and thick and juicy. Daddy Gang, today I have on Cassie David. I slid into her DMs about 6 months ago, and I finally got her ass into the dad pad to spill her guts. She is officially my favorite child of a celebrity, but that's also because Lily Rose Depp was not available. In other news, I have made a friend, and her name is Cassie David. Here she is. And no, Cassie, I will not edit the tea out. Love you. Enjoy. This episode is presented by Sparkling Ice. Turn up summer with Sparkling Ice. They have over 17 anything but subtle flavors, all made with zero sugar and packed with vitamins and antioxidants. Iced tea and lemonade, strawberry watermelon, tropical punch, peach nectarine. Yum. Crank up the flavor, Sparkling Ice, anything but subtle. This episode is brought to you by Monday Hair Care. Daddy Gang, nobody likes Mondays. Am I right? We're all sobbing, and we're barely getting out of bed on a Monday. But Monday Hair Care is here to flip the script with its award-winning formulas. No more bad hair days, Daddy Gang. Monday Hair Care is turning Mondays into a reason to celebrate good hair, which I love, thank God, with 7 new products like a leave-in conditioner, dry shampoo, a curl line, and body wash. And Daddy Gang, every single thing is under $10. Yes. And the smell is to die for. Okay. I want my hair smelling like something that Matt wants to be engulfed in. I want him to come out to me and go, oh my God, you smell amazing. Oh my God, what is that in your hair? So Daddy Gang, reclaim the week with Monday at all leading retailers. Visit MondayHairCare.com to find a stockist near you. This episode is brought to you by Curology. If you have particular skincare challenges, it can be really frustrating to waste time and money on products that just are absolutely not formulated for you. That is why I'm so excited to recommend Curology. I have personally struggled with acne my whole life, and I'll look at someone on YouTube or TikTok or Instagram and be like, should I buy those products? No, I do not have the same skin as them, so I should not be treating it the same. Curology's personalized prescriptions are formulated to treat your individual skin needs, from acne to the earliest signs of aging. All you have to do is go online, take a quick quiz, and you will be connected to a licensed dermatology provider that will create a custom formula based on your skincare needs. If you're ready to start your skincare journey and start seeing results, here is a special offer just for you. Visit Curology.com/callherdaddy for a special offer. That's Curology, Curology.com/callherdaddy. Offer applies only to your first box, subject to consultation, new subscribers only, subscription required.
Oh my God, you guys. I feel like I'm going to lick this, like, by accident.
I would rather you lick it than okay. Be so far away.
All right, that's fair. I'm pretty quiet, so I think it's for the best.
Cassie slid into my DMs last night and literally, and I quote, are you sure you still want me to come tomorrow? We've literally had this scheduled for 6 weeks. Hey, are you sure you want me to come in my DMs?
But, well, first of all, I DM'd you because I don't have your number, because obviously you want to keep our relationship strictly to Instagram. But you know when you, like, have plans with someone and no one's followed up? Like, I need to follow up, like, every single day to know that you still want to do it. And so I'm like, oh, like, maybe she's... I was giving you an out, essentially, like, if you didn't want to do it.
I literally respond, I'm like, yes, Cassie, like, I will see you tomorrow. And you're like, haha, okay, I guess. Literally, I guess.
But I feel like you got it. You, like, know how to reassure someone.
No, I got it. And I think that I'm happy you're here. Now I'm nervous to do what I was about to do to you. Can I play something for you?
Is it? But, as long as it's not, like, my own voice.
Well...
What? Hold on.
Okay. You're gonna die. I... was having a vibe that I was like, Cassie David, was she a fan of the Call Her Daddy, like, before this? Like,
oh, are you going to play the imitation I made of you? I was planning on telling you. I have to come clean.
Okay, so I'm literally sitting here and I'm like, there's no, like, I'm like, let me look. Is Cassie David, like, was she a fan or not?
That shit's wild, man. Yeah. Like, I tried to listen to that and I was like, why are you calling me a dirty whore? Like, dumpsters. Like, you'll never believe, like, what I'm about to fucking do to this fucking cock. I was like, what? I was like, hello?
Okay, I think we've heard enough.
I'm like, dead.
Let me explain.
No, I love it.
First of all, I've become an avid daddy listener since we decided to do this.
Yeah.
But when I did that Barstool podcast, but I was like looking up Barstool shit and I obviously found your guys' shit and I listened to it for like 2 minutes in an Uber ride. And obviously I was like, felt like I was like watching porn because
of course
there was a stranger.
You dirty whore, Cassie.
I was like, this is the naughtiest thing I've ever done is listen to this podcast. And I listened to it for like 2 seconds and that's obviously like the imitation.
No, I think it was actually kind of accurate. You cum dumpsters, get in there, get your fucking nut, get it all over your face, and then get the fuck out. I was like dying when I watched that. Call Her Daddy has evolved. And I feel like I don't as recently call people dirty whores.
Like a slut. Yeah. A little skank.
But it's like in an endearing way.
I appreciate it. And like, I would be like honored for you to call me like a dirty skank. So like, it's fine. Okay. Yeah. I think it was just like, I liked it.
You liked it.
Yeah, I liked it.
I think the beginning show of Call Her Daddy was the most memeable show. It was too easy to like go at it. Like it was right there for you.
But I feel like that's the thing. Well, yes.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's also the thing is that like there's no shame in like building something really awesome. What's the shame in that?
So you're happy to be here.
So basically this is kind of the thing that I've been like realizing that I do to myself. And maybe you do this too.
What?
You get an opportunity or something and then you're like, you say yes. Like my past self said yes.
Yes.
But my past self wouldn't have been down to do this at the time. It's like, oh, my future self will like take care of this for me.
Every time I commit to something and then they're like, today's the day. And I'm like, I want to die. I don't want to go to that interview.
Like, why did past self do that to my future self?
Why did Cassie commit to coming to this podcast?
It was so mean. I was just like, why'd you do this to me? And they were like, oh, like I thought maybe you'd want to in 3 months. And it's like,
no.
No. I mean, I don't know if you're truly aware of this because you have an outlet where you like can
speak
your mind all the time. But when you don't have that, anytime you open your mouth, obviously, well, this is true for anyone that you are like subject to getting shit on or like hate.
I can already see it right now. The comment, Alex just bullied Cassie. In the beginning of this video, she blindsided her. She gaslit her. People are going to take it.
Well, you also have no idea what anyone is capable of scrutinizing anymore. True. It could be truly anything that you would never expect.
That's true.
So yeah, it's nerve wracking to pop your head out and like speak about anything.
Well, I respect you for doing it. And on the grandest scale, you wrote a fucking book. You're a brilliant writer.
Oh, that's so stupid.
It's not stupid. But you are a brilliant writer. I felt a little emo after it in the best way. Okay. I was like getting my nails done. I'm like, give me black. Like I was like, this is my mood after reading Cassie David's book. But it's fucking hilarious. What was your parents and your sister's reaction to the book? And like, when did you tell them about it?
My dad really enjoyed it because he got off super easy, obviously. I just like talk about how much I love him. And my mom, obviously, I talk about how she's toxic in like the nicest way possible. My sister's funny because she just like loves when anyone like knows I have a sister. Anytime she meets one of my friends, they'll be like, oh my God, I didn't know you have a sister. And she'll be like, Cassie never tells anyone she has a sister. Like she's hiding me.
The internet thinks I don't have a sister also. So you're not alone.
It just didn't come up. Right. Like if you asked me if I have a sister, like, yeah, I'm going to say yes. But I'm not going to just like start talking about how I have a sister.
Right.
So I think she was happy. And I think she like did have her therapist read the essay I wrote about her to make sure it was like fine.
She had her therapist read it before she read it.
No, after she read it.
Got it.
Because it was like being published.
Oh, got it.
I basically like refused to publish anything that anyone was like not okay with. So like that's why. So it could have been probably juicier, but it was not.
It could have been juicier, but you're like a good human being.
I have too much anxiety.
Okay, fair.
You're like, it's not, it's yeah, actually not it's about like, being
I would have, person. I would have liked to maybe, yeah, no.
Spill a little bit more tea.
Probably, yeah.
If your immediate family had a reality TV show, I fucking love this question.
Oh my God.
What would each of the characters be doing in the pilot, and what are each of their storylines?
That's so good. My dad would be like eating old food in the fridge. Like, and someone would be like, "Dad, that's like 3 months expired." And he'd be like, "What?" Like, just being like a geriatric.
That's good. That's good.
And then like doing a crossword, and like the house catches on fire and he like doesn't notice. And he's like still doing the crossword.
What are you doing while he's doing that?
I'm just like trying to wake him up. I don't know.
You're like, "Dad, there's a fire."
Yeah.
There's like, so monotone.
The house is on fire. My dad's doing a crossword. He's not paying attention. My sister is like literally collecting every single thing that's hers in the house and like making sure you didn't steal anything from her because it's a good opportunity to go into my closet. And
Right.
And my mom is like talking about global warming while the house is on fire. That's the pilot.
That's actually a really good pilot.
Thank you.
That's a good pilot.
I've been trying to write one for quite some time now.
Okay, well, I think you're on to something.
Yeah.
I would watch it. Okay, let's go back to the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Young Cassie, were you ever bullied in elementary school or middle school?
I was bullied a lot in elementary. First of all, I just want to say that I think most people do. And like, let me know if this is like something that you experience.
Yeah.
Because when you're like trying to be funny, you end up sometimes leaving like some damage behind.
Oh, facts.
You know, you don't really know the difference fully between being mean and being funny.
Absolutely.
And so I'm sure that like someone listening to this is probably like, "That's weird because she's my fucking bully." I don't know.
Literally writes in, it's like, "Really, Cassie David? Because you fucking ruined my entire life." Yeah, I'll never forget what you said.
100% possible. I don't recall being like mean about anyone's like looks. Like, I don't think I would go that far, but it's possible because I was trying to make people laugh, and you're young and you really don't know what the fuck is up.
I was constantly trying to like be funny and get attention that way. There were times where I took it too far that I look back now and I'm like, was that mean?
It's tough. It's a fine line. I mean, now it's like pretty obvious what's mean and what's not.
Yeah, facts.
We were kids at an age where you could still like have a hot list, you know what I mean, in your school.
Like top five.
Yeah, and it's like now,
that's
I don't know if that happens in schools, but it definitely happens online, you know, like
that's
people
so
are just hiding behind their computers, but it's the same shit.
Okay, what were you bullied about?
I have huge ears. I say this a lot, and they were really big when I was little because I didn't know how to like hide them. I would wear my hair in this like really loose ponytail that would go like this, essentially.
Oh, so it kind of looked like a bonnet.
So I looked like,
like a loose,
I fully wore a bonnet. I looked like a woven basket every single day. My mom was like really trying to stay out of like anything appearance wise. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah. Would not tell you if you had a unibrow or like that you needed a bra. Like, she would just like let it. Like, my boobs were showing and I wasn't wearing a bra, and it was like two layers like of the Abercrombie tank tops.
Like a light like mosquito bite popping through. It's like awkward. Yeah. It's like little
cones. It's not like the hot nipples we see today. It was like really, it's like really
Okay, I feel that. Okay, so you did like self-discover on your own.
Yeah.
I know in your book you talk about how we used to have that one hometown beauty.
Mm-hmm.
And now every hometown girl, you're like scrolling and it's like they're all fucking perfect.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, that whole like Wall Street, I know you talked about the Wall Street Journal article. The Facebook rep was like, you know, there's negative comparison in life, so obviously there's going to be negative comparison on social media. And now it's like we are exposed to like hundreds of thousands of town beauties from the moment you wake up to when you go to sleep.
Right.
And like, are our brains actually okay with,
right,
like, what are, that's not normal. It was even easier, I think, to deal with like the industry standard of like the models, the supermodels in the 90s.
Yeah.
Okay, we all aspire to like these like 10 women. But now it's like you see a stranger who looks like pretty much exactly like you, but with like a smaller nose or a better
jawline,
body or hair or mouth or life, everything. And that's like twisted in like a really new way. I mean, there's so many things Instagram could do that would make it better for our mental health. Like truly, there's a million things they could do that I could even think of.
1000%. Every photo that's edited mm-hmm. should have to like say that.
You could do hashtag like Facetune, like you do hashtag ad.
Right.
Like, of course, like, do we all want to do that?
No.
No, but like, would it be better for us? Yes.
Have you, Cazzy David, ever photoshopped a photo?
First of all, I love that you talked about photoshopping a photo like it was like a true crime podcast. Dude, when literally. You were like, I uploaded the photo and the next day they said it was edited. So funny.
And my life in that moment seemed to be over.
I think everyone edits photos. I mean, truthfully, like photoshopping is a skill and like I am not good at it. And so I do have to be very particular over which photos I bombard my friend. You know, I only get a few.
Yeah.
I can't send too many photos or they're going to be like literally fuck off.
Dude, I have friends.
So it's not
that
all
that.
Of my photos, but it's like the ones I really need help with.
Need help.
Yeah.
What would you edit about yourself?
Oh,
I know.
My fucking huge nose. Can you edit this out? No, honestly, my like that's what's so interesting because like I was talking to someone about fillers and Botox and everything. And they were like, it's a slippery slope. It's a slippery slope because you think you need one thing and then it goes down and then you do everything. And it's like, no, I already think I need everything. Like there's not like I would not be able to choose. It's embarrassing to admit that we want to be more attractive.
Yeah.
But like, of course, we all do. Everyone's like, oh, like I'm not ugly. I'm just broke. I'm so insecure that I don't want to be perceived as wanting to be more attractive because I think people talk shit about me, even though no one's like sitting at home being like, do you know who's so brave for not getting a nose job? Cazzy. That's pathetic. That's me.
Great.
At least she's like cool and interesting because she like hasn't gotten work done, but it's like they're actually just like thinking you're not hot. And then have you seen this stuff on TikTok where it's like, maybe this is just my algorithm.
No, it's okay.
They know that I'm obsessed with it. Where it's like, this is your sign to get lip injections. It's the tiniest thing that's made my life so much better, blah, blah, blah. Our culture of like being so afraid the world is ending.
Right.
Yet we're obsessed with beauty and skincare and trends that like make fast fashion so much fucking worse for the environment. Yet we're all like, we inherited a horrible planet, but like actually we're gonna buy like more skin products than like any generation in history. It's really confusing.
And I feel like we all know we're doing it. People are afraid to stop for fear that they're then gonna miss out, but everyone wants it to stop. I feel like, right? Like, do your friends like social media?
I don't think anyone like likes it. I just think we're all super addicted to it and like don't know how to now live without it. And I think, you know, that thing you were talking about with like getting rid of your likes and comments, that's something if everyone did, everyone would be happy to do.
Would you do it?
Yeah, I would do it, especially if I was getting like bullied to an extent where I like couldn't handle it.
Right.
Celebrities can't not have their like, yay, good morning. Like, they need it. They feed off of it.
Well, half of the shit they're posting is to get that.
Yeah.
Which is why I think like ever since I turned the comments off, like I'll admit it feels weird and I feel like exponentially happier. Like I literally feel alleviated of stress.
But would you say like likes and comments were the thing that made you the most insecure on Instagram?
I like get hate, obviously. People are like, you dumb cunt, go fucking kill yourself. I'm like, thank you. Good morning. But I think I just recognize like, wait, if this is bothering me at all, like if it's causing any level of friction in my life and in my mind, why? Just you literally just press off.
I really do feel like you're actually super strong about stuff like that. The hate has evolved in such a way where it's actually like so much more clever now than it used to be. Because it used to be like, you're a Jew.
Right.
And it'd be like, yeah.
Yeah.
And now it's like insightful in this way where it's like, you can't even be like, oh, what a dumb fucking troll in the race, man. It's like, do I agree? Because this is so clever.
What do people fucking say in your comments?
I have no sense of my own identity at all. And I think like having exposure for my book and having like more people be able to form an opinion about me. I'm not going to write a book about how stable I am. That's literally the worst thing I would ever imagine reading.
Yeah.
So like, I think the perception is like, oh, this girl's like bipolar, like narcissist. Just what I've seen a lot
really?
Of. That I'm like insane and like, yeah. It's a book of personal essays. I'm not going to write about like
your dad,
loving
right?
my life and how lucky I am.
Right. My life is great. Like, I fucking love everything.
So unfunny to talk about how right. happy and okay yeah. you are. Not that, like, the main goal was to be funny. But I do think...
It was,
like,
though.
Own I do think it. Something that... Yeah, it was.
I'm just kidding.
I do think the main thing that comes from, like, a lot of hate is people feeling like, well, I could do that so much better, so I'm going to fucking shit on this because it's unfair. And that's totally valid, and I feel the same way about a lot of things. So
yeah, that's fair.
I do understand. What's interesting about what that person said to you about, like, being upset about the, like, that whole photoshopping thing is that they were probably really upset that you were able to use that for material and like control your narrative.
Dude,
I'm so jealous of the ways in which you can control your narrative. Like,
why?
Because I can't do certain things like that. Because I'm like not a normal. I'm like not normal. That's please edit that out.
Kazi's not normal.
People
why
are gonna call couldn't. Me a pick me girl.
Dude, what is a pick me girl?
Okay, so this is actually the funniest thing.
I see people write it to me all the time. You're such a pick me girl. I'm like, really?
But this is what TikTok needs to. They need to come together and have a straight up definition for what these things are, because I saw one that was like qualities that make my friends pick me girls. And one was like, she likes to rock climb. And one was like, she listens to the Smiths. And it's like, these are just qualities. Like, I need a clear definition so I can avoid it.
Well, apparently I'm not a pick me girl because I don't like the Smiths and I don't rock climb.
And I know I've said things that are like, you're a pick me girl. Like, yeah, okay, maybe I am. But it's not for like male attention. It's just for nothing. Right. So,
okay,
like, what am I getting out of being a pick me girl if it's no men like me? No, I'm just kidding.
Stop.
Wait, the definition for me is someone who's like, I'm so quirky and weird.
I'm just so weird. Yeah.
Or it's like, I don't like drama. Like, and I'm like friends with guys. And
oh.
So that I understand, like, fuck that girl. Like, we all hate that girl. And we never had a name for it. Once you come up with a name for something, it becomes so much more shameful to be that. Before there was a name, it was just like, oh, I don't like people who, like, act like this.
Yeah. A pick me girl is essentially, yet again, we're pinning girls up against girls. Every single time we tear another girl down, another man advances.
The reason people started to shame pick me girls is because the nature of a pick me girl, this is according to TikTok, is misogynistic. They don't want to be associated with other women. I don't like other women. Like, I don't act like those girls.
Right.
So that's misogynist.
Yes. However, it's also
misogynistic to shame people for doing that. And that's what is so fucking confusing about right now on the internet.
Yeah.
Where it's like one person comes out with an idea and then another person comes out with an idea about why that idea is problematic. And then another person comes out with an idea why that idea on that idea is problematic. And it's like, we're circling and then there's like actual like fucked up shit going on. And like, why are we
focused on pick me girls? Let them live their fucking life. Is it affecting you in any possible way? You're just seeing a girl on the internet do something that you feel like is to appease to the male gaze. Let me guess, though. The person that's deeming that as appealing to the male gaze is a woman. I bet none of the men. What man is saying she's a pick me
girl?
No,
it is the men.
No, guys are not being like,
no.
Pick,
they're
that's
not.
What I'm
but the guys are like.
It's girls that are being like, you're a pick me girl. I have girls fucking in my DMs all the time.
Yes,
Tyler
because.
Daddy is the definition of pick me girls. I'm like, no, it's fucking
But that's
not.
The thing is, you could say anything's a pick me girl.
Yeah.
Like, I would love to just narrow down what a pick me girl is so I can join in on the fun.
Like, I would just say it's a fucking desperate human that's just like looking for validation in any corner of the fucking room in order to fill them up.
I think it's the girl that's like drinking beer just for the guys to like talk about how she's a cool girl.
Okay, yes, that's fair. That's fair.
She's like,
but also
going out into the rain and being like, just come out here. It's amazing. And it's like,
dude.
No.
But also then I go back to my college self. I would have been absolutely down to go to like the hockey guy's dorm room by myself and have a beer. But it was also for self-motivation of like, I want to get with this guy. So I'm going to fucking do what it takes to like get in there. Cause socially I want to fucking rise to the charts and I want to get invited to the public. Like
I don't think that's a pick me girl. I don't think you're a pick me girl.
Oh,
that's just my,
okay. And you're not either.
Well, I say things that are, but I'm at my core not, because I think you have to do it for male attention, and that's not something I do for that.
Yeah, no.
I do other things for male attention.
Like what?
Like,
I'm going to try to think too. What do I do? Fill in my eyebrows.
Absolutely. Like, I'll wear like tight jeans.
Yeah.
If I'm going out to dinner.
Looser are way comfier, but got to suck that asshole in, really show up.
Got to show that butt. You know what I mean?
Wait, let's chopstick.
Mine melted while we've been here.
What is that?
Question for you.
What?
Is there anything in your life that you feel protective over and that you wouldn't share with your friends? Like, if you have a really good playlist, like, or you have a really good chopstick, like, that you would want to be protective over. Because I feel like the thing with TikTok is that they are willing to share everything. Any tip that they find that's good, they want everyone else to have it too, which I think is very nice. But I'm curious, because sometimes I share things with people and I watch them later on and I'm just like, I regret sharing that with you.
Like what?
This is why I don't do what you do, because these are my questions versus yours.
I'm going to answer that question.
You're like the millennial Barbara Walters.
Stop. And
I'm like, do you share your chopstick with your friends?
No, it's a good question. I'm trying to think, but what have you shared that you regret? And then let me think about that answer.
This chopstick.
Okay. It kind of looks like a lipstick.
This is Black Cherry Clinique. Black Honey.
Okay.
And I got it 2 years ago, obsessed. My friend told me about it, and I use it all the time. So I did have to hear about it from someone in order to have it. So it's not like I found it, but this year it went trending crazy on TikTok. They shared it with everyone. Now it's sold out.
I feel like maybe when I was younger.
Anyone who tries this will want it. That's the thing about it.
You don't. Is that just the only thing on your lips right now?
Yeah.
It does look pretty good. But I feel comfortable with my pomegranate.
Okay, good.
But I may.
But try it. Maybe try
and
it.
And I'm not going to go for yours because I don't want
it's too
one
late.
Unit I get to be one that takes it away from you.
No, I actually do hate this quality in people when you're like, where'd you get that? And they're like, oh, like, yeah, I don't know. Like, you know where you fucking got it.
Dude, I remember I had a friend in middle school, elementary school vibe. She used to wear this perfume and she didn't want me to wear it. She's like, the guys, like, it will be weird if we both smell the same. And then when I was at her house, I looked through her fucking shit and I was like, it's the shit. Juicy Couture.
Yeah,
like,
fuck you.
And then I like,
you're probably just embarrassed that
literally.
It was juicy.
Yeah. And to this day, I still will use it.
Good.
It smells good.
I think that should be the rule, is that I'm willing to share anything about my life as long as you share with me too.
Fact.
And if you don't share, like, fuck that. Sharing. Yeah.
Let's
not talk about chopsticks.
Yeah, let's just move the fuck on.
Do you think
on.
People hate us so far? Or how do you think we're coming off?
We're cruising. You know, we're like.
We're just talking.
We're just talking. We're just
There's
living.
Nothing to judge here. We're just chatting.
We're just chatting. Like, we're literally chatting.
Okay.
Let's talk about the D'Amelio's TikTok show.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on each character? Charlie, Dixie, Mom, Dad. You can give me also your opinion on the creepy Greg manager guy, but you can leave him last if you don't want to go
there. I genuinely have no thoughts about Greg. Greg, you gave me not one critical thought, which is actually worse. I will say fucking Charlie really has good instincts about this shit. And the fact that someone that young knows the cycle of getting hate, that she knows that if someone compliments her, she's going to get hate.
That's
and she doesn't
sad.
Want anyone to compliment her. That's like really smart, one.
But
and
sad.
Two, really fucking sad that she has had enough experience with that to know the cycle of it.
Dude, she's 17 and literally, what was it? She was about to be on the top
time,
100,
yeah.
whatever the fuck time shit. And she was like, no, I can't do this.
Good for her.
I will get
knows.
Shit on.
Yeah, but it's really fucked up.
It's sad. Okay, so Charlie, you think...
I mean, I think anyone who comes away not being able to empathize with Charlie and Dixie is
a sociopath. I agree with that.
They had observations about fame that I thought were really perceptive. Like Dixie saying, I love that we're getting so serious about Dixie.
Dixie, shout
but
out.
It's true.
Yeah.
She said this thing about the mental health conversation, which is that so many people come forward with their mental health issues and everyone supports them. Why does that never happen for me? And it's true. It's like, how do we pick and choose who we're supporting and who we're not? It's not right.
I agree with you. I think I felt absolute empathy in the aspects that they discuss with regard to mental health and the connection to how social media is basically deteriorating it one day at a fucking time. Mm-hmm. I get it, though. If I was fucking 17 and people were talking about me, I would be reading that shit, like ingesting it like fucking breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Like, yeah. How do you look away?
The way I feel like, and maybe it wasn't shown correctly, but if your kids are like fucking sobbing and wanting to kill themselves over this, like, wouldn't you try extra hard to just tell them to stop?
Dude.
Like, I really wish I saw a moment. I saw like, you don't have to do this, but I didn't see like, you need to stop.
Right. Like, get the fuck out of our house. Cameras, everyone. We're
like,
done.
It didn't really make a lot of sense to me. And I feel like, if your kids are going through that, you would try harder to put a stop to it. And maybe you would even give the kids a choice.
The amount of times you see the mom like on the ground, like sobbing, being like, oh my God, like, I just wish she could get a break. Okay, give it to her. She's literally 17 years old. She's a minor. Give it to her. Tell her agent not to come by tomorrow and to cancel this month. Mm-hmm. Give it to her. Yeah. Why are you acting like it's out of your control? It makes me sad, but overall, I think the Charlie and the Dixie dynamic, I have nothing but like empathy. I actually feel really bad.
And this is really weird to me also, is that like the public humiliation that we put people through is so insane, because one, when someone does something wrong, like let's say they say the wrong thing or whatever it is, the comments regarding that are just as like offensive as what we're like canceling someone for,
if not worse. Have you actually ever had one of those like crying breakdowns that you saw Dixie having?
Yes,
me too. Yes. I know. I love how I asked that. I was like, wait, she's gonna say yes.
Of course.
Yeah,
it's
I know you had a comment. Let's talk about quickly Scott Disick. I know it's kind of irrelevant, just because Scott is in the public eye, does he deserve his dirty laundry being aired?
I think this is a bigger conversation about...
It's not just about Scott Disick, guys.
Screenshotting. And when you're in a legal battle, great. Have your screenshots. But to post them on social media should be illegal, in my opinion.
Wow.
I mean, there's other things we should do first.
Right. Hold on, Cassie. Reel back. No, I hear you.
But... there's certain things that happen in pop culture that I see everyone siding with someone on, and I'm like, no, no, no. Like in this Scott Disick thing.
Yeah.
Benjamin, what?
I don't even know. Fuck? Just Benjamin.
Benjamin.
Benjamin,
what the fuck?
Benjamin.
Is it Benjamin?
Benjamin.
Eunice.
Okay.
Okay, whatever. So, we're not going to say his name anymore.
We don't even care.
Scott, obviously, in a moment of
weakness
and loneliness, obviously had no one else to reach out to and wanted some companionship, someone who understands what he might be going through, reached out to Benjamin UNICEF and said, oh my God, dude, our ex-girlfriend in Venice, PDA. I mean, we all recognize how much PDA this couple is having, right?
It's wild, yeah.
I know everyone thinks it's, like, adorable.
I don't.
I never find PDA to be anything but grotesque. Anyways, and then Benjamin UNICEF screenshotted the message, posted it, and was basically pretending like he was the bigger person. Like, I'm not going to indulge this. Like, and then everyone's, like, humiliating Scott for sending Scott's already humiliated. Like, yeah. We should never be beating a dead horse, beating a man what's down, like whatever the phrasing is.
Yeah.
He's already embarrassed. We should be shaming Benjamin.
Yeah.
You know, the Khloe Kardashian thing, like when that photo and everyone like hated on her because she wanted a photo deleted. Like, she's already embarrassed. She's tone it down. Yeah. We get it. She's like perpetuated like an unattainable beauty standard. Like,
imagine what's going on in that woman's brain. Like, I literally prayed.
She wanted a photo deleted. Who the fuck cares? You saw it. Take some solace in that. Like, oh, she doesn't look like that. Like, we saw it.
Okay. Great. And like, don't be a fucking asshole. And then go like troll her.
Yeah. It's just, I feel like people are always siding with the wrong thing. And the mass humiliation is something that I feel like is evolving, even though it's something we as a society are like actually speaking up against,
right?
But it's rising at the same time, and we support it and indulge it. Right. I don't know. It's like a weird like contradiction. Do you ever one of the many on the internet?
Do you ever troll anyone in their comment section, Cassie?
If someone hangs out with someone that I hate, I'll like DM them being like, wow, so cool.
Stop. And then what do they say?
They'll be like, stop cyberbullying me. Or if they post something that's like a show that's super mainstream that everyone loves, or like something that like everyone's obviously obsessed with, right. I'll be like, oh my God. Like,
you're hard on that.
Yeah. Like, just, we get it.
Yeah. Like, but that's probably my Instagram. I'm like, I'm rewatching Friday Night Lights.
No, that's not it. Oh. It's like people who like,
feel like it's literally no, not it. Shut the up. Fuck up. I'm like, oh, okay. I need to talk about something serious. And I know this is probably going to be difficult for you to talk about. And it may be too soon.
I can't tell if you're joking. If this is a setup for a joke because it's so trivial, or if it's actually serious.
Can you talk about the first time that you saw the video of your dad sitting in front of Fashion Week?
This is so not going to be like what...
I don't care.
Just, you want to hear from this?
I want to hear whatever
is what anyone would want to hear. I found it like so like disturbing. Like, I'm happy everyone was like, thought it was so funny and like relatable. For me, it was like, this is like a man who was like dragged to some place he doesn't want to be, that he didn't know what it would be. He doesn't know what a fashion show is. Like, someone's like, will you please come to this fashion show with me? Like, but he didn't want to go, obviously. Like, I know him. So the moment that's going viral, that's like me watching my dad be like, he looks like he's having like a breakdown, like yeah, truly. He does. Like, he looks so miserable, and I obviously don't like seeing my dad miserable, right. Whether or not it's funny. But he would never also do something to try and be funny. Anyone who thinks that like...
he was trying to be funny.
I don't think he's ever done anything in his life like that to be funny. He's like, if you're funny, like great. But like, if you're not funny, don't try to be funny. Got ever.
It. What was your... family group text, or what was your text with him? Like, what happened?
I don't think I even texted him about it, because I knew that he was getting a lot of texts about it. But
you never,
me and my sister texted to each other, and we were just both just like, oi, this is so sad.
Oh my God.
I know. It's so weird. It's so weird how different like your reaction can be then.
Well, I think that's also helpful. Now that you're saying it, I can so see it.
It was simply just too loud for him to be there. Yeah. Like, it's very sad.
Thank you for confirming. Okay, so you never brought it up to him?
No.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Some things work so well. It's basically magic. Like my favorite highlighters that I'm like, wow, how did you all of a sudden make me look glowing? And you know what else really works, Daddy Gang? Shopify. It is a global commerce platform that helps you sell. I've seen a big difference in my online merch sales. They are especially good at turning browsers into buyers. I can see someone that's been on the site but didn't check out, or someone that checked out and then is revisiting the site. Like, if you want to grow your business, Daddy Gang, sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/unwell, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/unwell.
Love bombing. I figured, Cassie David. Hey, girl.
Yeah.
Have you ever experienced love bombing?
Sure have. yeah. A simple thing about like love bombing is just like, you are treated as essentially like you're in a romantic comedy, you know, extreme gift giving, compliments, neediness, excessive communication, like all these things, which is interesting just because it's the thing that like you and me, when we were growing up and watching movies, it's like what we were basically told is like the most truest form of love that exists.
Yeah.
And no one is telling anyone that like, actually these are all red flags. Like, every movie you've watched, like if there was a part two and it was realistic, would actually turn into like the abusive relationship.
Love bombing, Daddy Gang, to anyone that is not familiar with it, what Cassie is basically saying is like, it's this person essentially drawing you in by showing you such an extreme amount of attention and love and affirmation, but it's all in an attempt to get you so fucking close and latched on to that person
to later manipulate you.
Yes.
With that. It works really well. It does. Like, it's once you're in a relationship with that person, you're constantly trying to get back to this time when it was like amazing.
Right.
And it's like, why wouldn't you be able to get back to that time? Like, it was right there. Like, I experienced it. Like, of course I can get back to that.
Right.
So it does. It exists because, like, it works.
What is something someone's bought you in a love bombing phase? Tell me.
I would say just like excessive amounts of jewelry, or like doing things that are obviously putting someone at like an extreme inconvenience that you would never like ask for. Showing up at your door randomly is like actually inappropriate and not like, oh my God, this is everything I've ever dreamed of, which you think like
in the movies. The
yeah.
They stroll up and it's like, oh, hi. And meanwhile, you're like, this is creepy, because if it does turn abusive, which it slowly is about to, then they just start showing up.
Right. Well, also when you're super insecure, which like you're a confident blonde, so I don't know how much you can relate. I actually am your opposite. I'm just noticing. Like, I have black hair and like hate myself, and you're...
I think it's like the outward persona. Absolutely, you would think that that's me.
I'm like you in the upside down.
And then if you literally look at middle school photos, you would be like, okay, wait, never mind. You've just been running from like what you actually are, and you are just like me. And I spent more than half my life hating myself.
The point is that like, Kate, when you are super insecure, all you want is someone to be like obsessed with you. And so of course it's like a dream come true when you never were told anything about like emotional tactics to like keep you into a relationship like that.
Well, they don't teach it in school.
No.
At what point did you recognize in your experience that it was like manipulation?
I think when like, so it's this kind of thing where it's like over time, everything is your fault. Like their unhappiness is always your fault. And so I think it was when the reason started to become so stupid that I couldn't put myself in their shoes and be like, oh, I think I would be like upset by that too, and try to justify it.
Yep.
When I genuinely could no longer justify it, like even like with gaslighting and manipulation, I was like, oh, I know what's going on here. That doesn't mean it was easy for me to like get out of it.
Right.
Like it wasn't. But I knew it would like never end, and there would always be that next thing, especially when it was like something like screaming at you because like you wore a tank top to a party. You know, like, okay, like I know what's up now. Like,
yeah, something's wrong.
Yeah, something's wrong. Or like once you accomplish the things that they're saying are wrong with you, and then they find new things, like, well, you're hanging out with your friends too much, and you're like, I actually haven't seen my friends in like a very long time. You realize it's just like a never-ending cycle. Yeah,
I've talked about this on my show, but I've never like gone into detail. And I do think it's very important to lay out for people. And again, every situation is going to be different. And there's such a difference between like a toxic dick that's just like literally doesn't like you, mm-hmm. and just is not texting you back and treats you like shit because he doesn't care, versus someone that's like ill, mm-hmm. and is manipulating someone. And their ego is the driving force to every decision they make. And unfortunately, you're just a pawn in another game for them, unfortunately, that's just feeding their ego.
Well, also one is oblivious to the fact that they're even hurting you. And one is like getting off on your emotional reactions.
Yes. There is a predictable pattern in relationships that you need to look for that Cassie is starting to outline, essentially. And the language and communication style will essentially change depending on which phase of the abuse cycle you're in. So the beginning phase is love bombing, is what you're describing. So this person is focused on charming you. And it's like intense professions of adoration. It seems like they're almost rushing for a sense of intimacy at times. Oh my gosh, like I've never felt this connection. Like you're so smart. You're so pretty. You're so building you up, essentially. they're basically doing this to essentially understand your emotional weakness. Like, oh, she's insecure. Like, she loves when I give her compliments about that. Keep that in the back of my head. So later on when it turns not love bombing and we're going to go to the devaluation, you can throw it in to break her down. And I'm the only one that's going to be able to build her back up. It's very well developed and it's a
Pentagon level scheme.
It's psycho. Yeah. And it's, I bet so many people are listening like, wait, okay. I did hit it off with this person really early on. There is a difference.
Yeah, like, of course. I mean, yes, there's like obviously moments where like relationships move really fast and they could be the love of your life.
Yeah.
Just saying that like oftentimes like this happens and it's actually it's a warning sign.
They attempt to show you that like they appreciate you and understand you like no one else can. And you're thinking early on, wow, he knows me better than anyone. So then when there's ever conflict, you have a struggle of breaking free of that relationship. And so people are always perplexed, like, how did they stay? Like, how did she stay? How did he stay? Usually this is one of the primary reasons, because the love bombing phase was so intense that that foundation is hard to shake, because especially if you're insecure, like it was filling so many things that you felt you were lacking in your life and this person is fulfilling them. Meanwhile, it's just a fucking tactic. They don't actually fucking think this shit.
Or they, and maybe they do, because like you're their only focus whatsoever. Yeah. And maybe they don't even realize what they're doing, but they're still following all of these things. Like you can literally like be in a relationship like this and you look it up online and it'll be the exact same things that like you experience, like to a T, the language, like everything. And it's not that they're like studying it necessarily to do it.
Right.
It's just like either they were like brought up a certain way where they have like an emptiness that they need you to fill.
They are so hyper focused on you that in the moment, it's wanting to basically gain all as much knowledge so they understand what's your weakness. Because it's the mirroring concept of like they are building you up more for them than you, essentially, because it's like their image of themselves at times, they need to be with a partner that you're like, you're amazing. Because in their mind, they're like, I couldn't be with someone that's not amazing or smart.
Well, that's because anytime your attention isn't focused on them, they feel like you're treating them like shit.
Yes.
So it's like, if you can't answer the phone, it's like, wow, you're like an actual, like, really cold, unloving person. Because you're, like, doing work. And, like, you don't care about me. But that's the thing is, like, when we talk about like, oh, like that's the reason why people stay in these relationships, like we actually like should just eliminate that part of the conversation entirely, because it doesn't really matter why they stayed. It's just like
at all.
It's what matters is like giving people like the tools to be able to not get into these relationships and how to get out of them once they are.
I think that's a point, because I have someone very close to me that was going through something like this. And for others to be like, you're so judgmental, like, why can't you just felt like that's never going to be the option. Because if anything, you're just pushing them closer to the person that's being abusive.
Mm-hmm. And then that person will isolate you because they find out that you are against them.
Yes,
and they're paranoid.
And you're judging.
Yeah.
When you go from the love bombing phase to then essentially the devaluation phase, which is, it's just constantly basically tearing you down and making you feel like shit.
Yeah, I would say it's like, the timeline's different for everyone, obviously. And like the devaluation could just be like a week and then you're back to like some goodness and then it's back to that and it's like up and down.
Right.
But the devaluation is like, it's basically like a lot of like black and white thinking. So it's like, oh, you're the greatest person in the world. And it's like, actually, like, you're a fucking pathetic whore. Like, because you posted that picture on Instagram. And then it's just like nonstop with that until you're like, I don't want this person to think I'm like that. Like, I'm not like that.
Right.
And it's like constantly proving yourself to a made up concept that they just like.
And it's never ending.
Yeah.
It's basically, I know in research I was seeing, like, it's like this circling cycle where you start to actually be like, am I going insane? We make up, then they come back at me with something. And then I try to make up for it. And then all of a sudden I'm perfect again. There's no like in between normal balance. It's such extremes. Was usually your response to just immediately try to get back in good graces?
I think over time, once you realize like the cycle and that no matter what you say, it's just going to keep going, you do try to speed it up by apologizing or like whatever it is that you can do to make it stop. You pick up on certain things you say that work that like might make it go by faster. But in the beginning, it's like you're just so confused that like someone could like treat you like or like find something you do so insulting.
Yeah.
That you could be like sobbing on the floor for hours, but they're not going to care. They're just going to keep going at you. So it doesn't matter how often you apologize or whatever. Like usually it just like isn't going to make a difference. But actually like arguing with any logic doesn't work at all. No.
Did you think you were going to be with this person for the rest of your life?
Yeah. Oh my God. Of course.
Oh really?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you're young one, and you don't, again, like you don't know, like it's so stupid now to think like that I wouldn't know that that's like a cliche even.
Like what was a point for you that you could like tangibly hold on to that if someone's listening and they're like, am I in this? Like what allowed you to take the step to get out?
It's like sad because it was almost like when you're entire soul genuinely can't take it anymore was when I it was literally like I cannot physically, mentally, emotionally take this for like one more second. And so like that was it, where it's like there's some people who are like I know that are like so secure and stable that they would know these signs immediately and just be like fuck that, I'm not dealing with that shit, like ew. But yeah, I was not. Yeah. I mean, I was like very young, so I don't know.
Did like you ever like confide in your like parents?
No, because like you don't want your parents to like hate the person you're with until like it's over. After. Yeah.
And then did you tell them?
You're just protecting like what this person looks like to your friends and family for as long as you can.
Did your sister know?
My sister just like knows everything, so she just like knew early on, and it was like annoying that she knew.
Would she like shit on you and like say shit to you, be like, hello, Cassie, or like no? Supportive.
She would like try, but yeah, I think it's the kind of thing where it's like you go so above and beyond, like this person would like they hold you like very emotionally hostage, so you can't escape the situation that you're in. So it's like if someone's like verbally abusing you and like screaming at you and you're crying or whatever, you can't leave because they'll be like, if you leave I'm never going to talk to you again, or if you leave I'll break up with you, or if you leave I'll do something that is like
self-harm,
whatever it is. If you like get off the phone, I'm gonna call your house and your dad's gonna wake up and blah blah blah. And it's like because you just don't want your dad to know
that you're like
A piece of so you can like you just keep going, whereas like that would maybe end like something, but it's like
like it's like constant threats. The literally the only option is to agree or to run. But the concept of leaving is basically kind of shut off by the way that they're abusively, like, telling you the options in front of you.
Well, you also don't think you can get away with running because, like, you think something will happen. That's not worth it. Like, you're dealing with people who, like, don't use rhyme or reason. Like, you could genuinely have never hurt this person. And by them seeing like a text message, they could do something so genuinely hurtful to you and think it's like equal. So you're constantly walking on eggshells because one little thing could be as big to them as something like, you know,
a text message,
like full cheating in front of them. That's how it's treated, you know?
Right.
I would say if someone hurts your feelings and they genuinely don't care how it's affected you, that is like the biggest sign ever.
The lack of empathy. And yes, you're right. You'll be able to gauge that if it's literally like you're screaming, crying on the floor and they're standing there essentially like continuing to beat you down.
I had this really, I'll probably make you delete this, but I had, this was like one of the first signs that I was like, what the fuck is wrong with this person? He was like coming to visit me. And he texted me before the plane, like, I really need to talk to you when I get there. And so I was like, oh, like they're breaking up with me. Like they're coming, they're flying here to break up with me, which is like, I guess nice that they would do it in person, right. But there's no chance that like this isn't them breaking up with me.
Right.
They made me text them the entire flight. Like I couldn't leave my phone. And it was like, we really need to talk. We really need to talk. Something's not okay. And so obviously I'm like panicking. Like, right. What the fuck is going on? They finally get to my house. We need to talk. And I'm like, I know. Just fucking do it. And he's like, you don't have sex with me enough. And I was like, what do you mean I don't have sex with you enough? He's like, you don't have sex with me enough. I'm really unsatisfied. All my friends have sex with their girlfriends every single day. Like, you don't fuck me enough. Like, it's really fucked up and I'm unhappy and I'm not going to take it anymore. And so even when you're like, okay, like, do you want to fuck right now?
Yeah, you're like,
should we go fuck?
You're it's like taking off your pants.
Yeah, it's like you were out of town, so we weren't having sex because we weren't in the same place. But like to approach something with any sense of like, I'd rather not humiliate this person.
Right.
So like maybe I should be like sensitive about the topic because like, I don't want them to be embarrassed.
What was your response?
At first I like thought it was a joke, but then it was like after I like said I would obviously have sex more with them and was like apologizing. I was genuinely like humiliated. I was like, I'm so embarrassed that you like feel this way and that you've like been thinking about this even.
Right.
Like it's so embarrassing for me. But it just didn't stop. It like didn't stop. It was like hours gone by. It's like, you don't fuck me enough. Like, you don't fuck me enough. Like, blah, blah, blah. Like, just nonstop. You're just like on the floor crying and they don't care. And that's like the sign, I guess, after like obviously 100 signs. But I also want to point out, which is so embarrassing. This is a total change of subject.
Okay.
And I only bring this up because it's like okay. Just the first thing that came to my mind. Demois posted that I was asexual.
Shut the fuck up.
But it's not, and it was so embarrassing, but it's something that I can't defend myself from because I can't be like, so weird because I do fuck all the time and I love sex because you just sound like you're covering it up. But anyways, this story made me feel like this is not good for my overall image of people thinking I'm asexual.
Kadzi, I don't think
I have sex, okay, everyone?
You don't even need to say that out loud, first of all. Even if you were, that's not for the...
Okay, I'm not, though.
No, I know. You're not. You're not. Kadzi is not.
Basically, I just want everyone to know, if that story ends up making it to air, I'm not asexual.
I don't think anyone... I fucking fuck,
okay?
I know you fuck. That is something that someone has said to me before.
That you're asexual?
Nope.
Yeah, no. I just say, highly doubt that.
No.
You got me so excited. I was like, you're asexual. People think you're asexual too,
Alex. I will say that I've had a guy be like, you're not fucking me enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I get what you're saying. I can relate so much when you're like, so do you want to fuck now? No. Like, should we? And then yet, like, if we fucked right now, that would be so like, inappropriate.
I would literally be crying while you fuck.
Crying, yeah. And it's like, there's such a different way to bring that conversation up. If it's ever brought up to you in that way, anyone listening, please know there's so many more fucking issues than your sex life. Like, if someone is literally being like, you don't fuck me enough and like screaming at you, that's actually like the least of your worries. I get it. I have people write in all the fucking time like, hey, like my boyfriend and I aren't fucking enough. Like, and I feel like we're off. Like the way to go about something like that is so fucking wildly different that this kind of has nothing to do with sex, honestly. Yeah.
I would just say also that like those things are usually like based from like no facts.
Like factual evidence. Yeah. Yes.
Like
you said, like he's gone.
It's going to be random shit that like you would have never thought of that is a problem because it's not.
Thank you. Whoa.
Everyone's gonna be like, Kadzi can literally shut up about everything.
Actually, I think not at all. If anything, I think like the respect continues to elevate in the room as you like are more vulnerable. Okay, so
thank you.
Dude, it's also Call Her Daddy. Sorry,
we
but, like,
love it. We I'm love happy.
It. We love
I'm
it.
So happy.
Kadzi's like, I'm even horny because I'm not asexual. So like I'm turned on right now.
I will say the difference once you're in a healthy relationship.
Yeah.
You almost feel like they don't even like you. Not that they don't, yeah. But it's because it's like healthy. You don't need to text all day, every day. You could even go a day where you don't text
it's probably
at all.
Yeah.
Or that they don't say that you're literally the most incredible person they've ever met in their entire lives.
Oh, that's helpful, though, for someone that's been through what you're explaining, and then to try to attempt for a healthy relationship, like, it's hard.
Yeah.
Which I think is...
Well, you think they don't like you. Because right. you're like, you obviously don't think
Why
I'm the
most...
Why are
you blowing up my phone?
Yeah.
Why aren't you telling me I'm literally the most perfect, like, intelligent human?
You almost start to, like, have toxic traits yourself. Because you've been programmed to think, like, that's what love is, but it's not.
Are you dating right now?
I am, yeah.
Like, in a relationship?
Mm.
Yeah, wait, how so long? Awkward. Can I ask or no? How long? I'm not going to ask who. Unless it's Timothy Chalamet, then. Because I did see your dad with him, so I was like, oh. No.
It's been a while, yeah.
Okay, that's great. Mm. So, and just keeping it basic of, like, that you've now, you're almost, like, learning a healthy relationship. Okay, well, good for you. You deserve it.
Thank you.
And you're having sex?
I have to go have sex with him right after this.
Literally, hurry. Before Dumois gets on your ass.
It's been a couple hours.
But actually, to wrap that also up, like, what is, in your opinion, the difference between the toxic frat boy and someone who is truly emotionally abusive? And also, I'm going to say not toxic frat boy or what,
like,
man
a fuck
or woman.
Boy, like,
yeah. Or woman. Women can be crazy,
yeah,
too.
They really fucking can. Yeah. They can be worse. It's the same thing. One is oblivious of the fact that you're in pain and is more just like an unself-aware, unevolved person.
Yeah.
And the other, again, gets
off on it.
Maybe not even pleasure, but like feeds off of your emotional reaction and you being in pain and crying, essentially.
That's a good point, because like I've had a guy that's so oblivious and he's like, what? Wait, no, I didn't know. Like, it's like that, the reaction when you start crying, they're like, wait, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean, that is a fucking classic idiot fuckboy that's just like, oh, fuck. Or they just like don't answer because like, all right, this bitch is crazy. I don't even like her that much. The other one is like, you're crying and they're almost egging it on to continue the crying. Mm-hmm. And they want it to like sink in.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yuck.
Cassie. Do you want to talk about ex dysmorphia?
Basically, like, the person your ex is now with becomes the most amazing, the most creative, the most effortless human. And it makes you rethink anything you once believed or liked or thought, where it's like, maybe, like, singing I Love Rock and Roll at karaoke is cool in an ironic way.
You're like,
you become delusional.
You're like, maybe I should take up rock climbing.
Yeah.
Maybe I should do that. And I should start listening to the Smiths. Listen, when you have someone in your life and they move on and you see them with someone, it's not always easy. But for me, I think I will literally admit this up until like, I would say last year, still this year, a little linger. I have like ex-boyfriends that like I've picked up. Do you have a fake account on Instagram? Yes. She nodded. Just say it out loud.
Yeah,
Cassie.
Obviously. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Okay, thank you. I have literally like, if you go like when you
I need to know, can you name one person that's like the people you stalk from your fake account?
Could I literally say their name?
Yeah. Do you think that's everyone's biggest secret? I mean, we all know who they are. It's anyone your ex has dated or your
like
new boyfriend's ex or...
Yeah.
Anyone who's threatened you in any way.
Yeah, no. I can't say any of them, but I do... Yes. Like, literally...
All exes, right?
All exes /... I feel a part of their lives now. Like, we've been on this journey for so long, girls. Like, my... Old ex. That's like three fucking removed.
Like, do you watch their stories?
I still watch. Okay, when I was dating that person, his ex girlfriend is still in and around my fake account. I'm like, what are you up to, sweetie? And like, I've had five boyfriends since then. I'm like, oh my god, like Georgina or whatever the fuck. I'm like, oh my god, like she's doing great. Oh my god, she moved. She looks like she's
Georgina's
good. She's
still someone you must.
I need to
check
know.
On.
And it's because like, it's so, I don't know why, but like because of the obsessiveness in the moment of me stalking my ex-girlfriend or girlfriends, then you move on to a new guy, mm-hmm. and then you add a new ex-girlfriend. Yeah. But still the fascination to the other twice-removed ex-girlfriend is still there
because you spent rapport. You spent so much time also relentlessly comparing yourself to them that you can't just, like, forget that time. Like, it's ingrained in you.
I just want to normalize it. It's one thing if you're obsessed. Mm-hmm. Does it sound like I'm obsessed? Yep.
Anytime you talk about this stuff, it sounds like you're obsessed. Yeah, but it's it is. We all do it. I don't think it is normal.
But I guess comparison is normal, right? To a certain extent.
If being normal is the definition of something everyone does, then it's normal. Yeah. But if us all doing it doesn't make it normal.
Also, I think for me, though, it's gotten to the point where, like I wasn't in pain. Like, I wasn't upset. It was more just like, this is so interesting. I would try to, like, picture their lives together and be like, huh, like, I don't know. It's a weird concept.
Which, like, model, like, Instagram model do you stalk the most?
Oh.
Who are, like, the breed of people you're jealous of?
You're going to hate this answer. And I would hate it, too. But this is genuinely honest.
You're not jealous of anyone because you are the coolest person
in
the room.
No. I feel like in the past year, knowing myself and how fake shit is on social media, I don't get jealous anymore because I don't believe anything I fucking see.
I, like, need to spend more time with you. Please.
It's true. It's like, I help look, me. Oh, like, sometimes I just want, I, like, stalk Bella Hadid. I'm like, damn, your face. Like, whoa, what's going on? This is crazy. Like, you're so skinny. You look incredible in that outfit. And then I'm like, hold on. I know there's backstory on the family. Like, so you have to have so much empathy now for people almost. And if you're jealous, I also have the insight of me, what I post. Mm-hmm. And what I'm literally talking about of, like, hey, Vegas fucking sucks. I felt fat. Like, it's not real anymore. So I feel like my gauge on jealousy is more if I feel like I'm slacking in my career. Right. I haven't felt that way lately, but I have at times in my career that I'm jealous if I see someone else advancing because I'm like, fuck, I should be spending more time on that shit. Other than that, no.
I have the same thing. Yeah. I have, like, an invisible job, it feels like, where I write every single day. I've written probably like 300 pilots in the last like 5 years. But like no one could think I like have worked a day in my life.
It is interesting how immediate the reward is for podcasting, but also how draining it is. Like, you never got a moment to stop and just be like, damn, that episode was good, I'm on to the next. Mm-hmm. Every single Wednesday.
I would say they're like opposite professions, which is why so many people have started podcasts. I looked up your podcast yesterday to listen to the new one.
Yeah.
But I saw like comedy podcasts and it was literally like every alt comic I've ever seen on Instagram. Their face, like, nah,
yeah.
And like their fucking punny podcast name. And I was just like, scrolling through, I was like, oh my God. Like, it was like a nightmare.
Yes.
It's because people need outlets to like get their material out. And this feels like them, the most.
Yeah. Your privilege.
Yeah.
What do you feel about that with regard to like your career?
It's pretty obvious I would not have a career without my father.
I don't think that's obvious.
Well, it's obvious people think that.
Yeah. Okay.
That would be an impossibility for me to have ever made it without my dad. People do not like kids of celebrities.
No.
They really hate us. Except for when you are so attractive or so cool. Like, you have to be Lily Rose Depp or Zoe Kravitz, and then they're like, step on me.
Yeah.
But if you're even like, if you're just like honestly not beautiful, they'll be like, why the fuck does she have anything? That's what it feels like.
Yeah, people want this like, you trudge through the mud, like got nothing handed to you and like you made it, baby. And it's like, everyone's going to say I'm entitled anyway. So like, what do I do now with my career? Like, should I pick a different fucking profession?
Well, that's the thing is like, I actually like can't. And I always believe like, if there's something you can do that's outside of your narcissistic dreams, like do that. So many kids feel like they need to follow some kind of creative dream in order to feel like their life has a purpose. Because if you don't have a job that like creates content, do you exist? And it's like, why would you choose being a doctor over getting attention?
Right.
But like, I would have tried to do this if I was adopted into another family or like whatever it is. I honestly have no other skills. Like, I wish I could do something else. But I hate kids of celebrities too. So it's like, I want to be part of the club where it's like, no, not me. You guys, like, I'm one of you guys.
No, but not me.
No, like
fuck all them.
Like, trust me, like, I'm cool. Like, you don't need to hate me. Like, I'm with you guys. Like, they all fucking fuck those people. They just get their opportunities. But it's like, yeah, I do understand why people would shit on me.
Well, you made a great fucking book.
Thank you.
And I thought it was wonderful.
Thank you.
Look, I have your book right there.
I know, it's so nice of you.
Just contributing to your bank account. You're welcome.
I mean, same.
Yeah, thanks for coming on here.
You're welcome. No, I'm just kidding. Thank you for having me. Seriously.
That was great. There's this book, and I want you to... I think I bookmarked it.
It's so cute.
It's basically your birthday, and it describes...
I love it.
Okay, but I kind of peaked May 10th, right?
Yeah.
Okay, read it out loud.
Ugh, this is already so embarrassing. You are persistent, mentally alert, and level-headed, and you never let failure or adversity deter you. Nope. Your effort or lessen your spirit. No. You are courteous, diplomatic, and gracious. I don't know about that. Never showing your true feelings unless they are pleasant. No.
Literally the complete opposite.
Could not be less accurate. Which is interesting because these things are so good because they use very, like, vague adjectives that anyone could be like, I am a loyal friend. Yeah. Like, so weird. They know, like, I do like adventure. So, yeah, this one's dead wrong.
Like, I thought mine was accurate.
What's yours?
August 21st. I forget it, though.
You're Leo.
Oh, yeah. What are you?
Duh.
I know.
Come on. What are you? Taurus.
Oh, duh.
This episode is brought to you by DoorDash. Want $0 delivery fees? Try Dash Pass by DoorDash. Daddy gang, I love being home. I love to be cozy, comfortable, laying on the couch. I can't tell you how many times I need something, but I am too lazy to get up and get out of the house. And sometimes I need food or groceries, you name it. Dash Pass gets it delivered right to my door and yours too. It is only $9.99 a month, so I think it's a really good deal, Daddy Gang. So get $0 delivery fees on eligible orders with Dash Pass, and new members get a 30-day free trial. Terms apply. Sign up today.